Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 5th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. As galactic councils are meeting inside the Grand Teton Mountain from July 1 to 7, this evening Lavendar will be talking about those proceedings, including some historical background as well. Many of our audience have already attended. Some remember and some don't, as they bring 144,000 people in every 45 minutes for coding, resets, reports, assignments, whatever is necessary for the projects at hand. Some attend out of body while others are physically transported there. It can be a time of heightened walk-in activity, so Lavendar will also be sharing some of her walk-in information from the bank vault. We invite you to call in to share your experience if you think you've had a trip to the Tetons without buying a plane ticket. Our number is 917-889-8292. We'd like to thank Purple Sage and Tammy for hosting the chat room and switchboard tonight. Purple Sage will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. And if you can call, once again, our number is 917-889-8292. And then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief, and tonight, please, only questions or comments relating to the Tetons and walk-ins. Now, before we get started, I'd like to remind you that if you'd register as a listener here at Blog Talk Radio and then click follow on our page, it would really help to get our show featured, which would help us reach more starseeds. We've had well over 41,000 listens to our show, and so far only 342 followers. So please, register for free and click the word follow on our show page, and then tell a friend. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. Now, we'll be getting started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like our Stage 1 Starseed confirmation, you'll get your natal and progress charts plus an MP3 of your reading, pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed confirmation if you haven't had one. Both Lavendar and I are available for the Stage 2 personal consultation. Make sure your birth info is exact to the minute and include your place of birth as well as your current place of residence. If any of that is missing, it'll delay your reading until we can find out. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so make the most of it. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Good evening, ladies.
Yeah, well, hello there.
Happy after the 4th of July.
Yeah, I got to watch a lot of television with the Boston Pops and Washington, D.C. and New York. I saw all three of them last night.
Those are amazing fireworks displays. Sierra, hello, are you there?
I sure am. Hello, ladies.
Greetings. Happy after the 4th of July.
Happy after the 4th of July for you, too.
Oh, did you have a good one?
It was really great. It rained, and we were really needing it. It's just been blistering hot here, so it was really nice to have the rain.
I bet.
canceled all the fireworks because of the fires that are going on here in the Southwest right now, though, so we didn't get to have fireworks this year.
Well, I thought we could be doing Lavendar, and I guess we saw enough for everybody. We are going to be talking about the Teton meetings tonight, and we may not have a full two-hour show, but we'll give you everything that we have on the subject of Tetons and Walk-ins from Lavendar.
Okay, so, of course, you know, at this time every year, we have, you know, beings that come inside the mountain, and those in attendance are the Great White Brotherhood, Guardians of the Devic Kingdoms, Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations, Ascended Masters of the Seven Sacred Cities, a Crystal Brotherhood of the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, and always six members of the Crystal Roundtable of the Starship Bethlehem, although this year all 12 of them came. Ascended Masters of all the seven rays of initiation and council members from Northern Shambhala. And I am just going to bring everybody kind of up to date about some of the things that happens every 6 months. And there is a major blueprint that never changes. And the major blueprint is what I'm going to be talking about in the ways of what actually happens with some of these meetings. Always they're talking about the 33 gem PowerPoints and where they are and what's happening with all the walk-ins that come to those 33 gem PowerPoints. And they are always bringing us up to date on some of the crystal grid activation, which is, you know, ongoing. And I wanted to mention a little bit about some of the Ascended Masters have, you know, they brought new information about those who would not make the transition into the fourth dimensional ray. And choices would be extended to certain evolving souls as to how they would like to further their evolvement. Some could go to another planet very similar to Earth and continue their cause and effects from there. And some could go aboard spacecraft and learn the secrets of universal balance as experienced by celestial travelers. Those ready to leave the physical body, and for them the next step would be to inhabit a fourth dimensional body, could then enter through the birth process of Earth or would inhabit a combination of Earth galactic energies done through genetic blending of such energies such as galactic baby experiments. Depending on their next step of evolution would determine if they would sustain the proper balance in these procedures. Others will be given the opportunity to become walk-ins if aligned to the mission at hand. As many walk-outs will be taking place in the next few years, there will be a demand for many walk-ins to come and offer their assistance foregoing the birth experience. A close check and balancing of all soul records of those in attendance was made, and by every next karmic board meeting, there's evaluations of these decisions of participation that will be fully reviewed. And it's at this point, I don't think that I ever have pulled out of the vault my definition of walk-ins. I know I probably did a couple of other radio shows for other guests, but I don't think that we've ever had the definition. So at this time, I would like to go ahead and read the different things that have been written, that I have written as explanation of walk-ins. Walk-in. Certain souls wish to help usher in the new age of reason by walking in and bypassing the birth experience, and these souls have earned through previous spiritual incarnations the right to exchange egos with the original occupant of the physical human body. The original occupant may find themselves at the crossroads of life or teetering on the brink of disaster. Perhaps they have sidestepped their time track and through agreement or mutual consent allow a walk-in to inhabit their body. This is not to be confused with possession, for this mutual agreement is regulated by the laws of cause and effect. There are many degrees and variations of walk-in, such as the follows. A permanent walk-in. A permanent walk-in is a soul who has taken full responsibility for the original occupant's body, as well as the causes and effects, with regard to the friends and loved ones of the departing soul. This walk-in soul keeps a pact with the Galactic Council as to specific assignments on Earth. This walk-in soul has divine protection and to others becomes known as a lucky person. They can function on many levels of mind and perform extraordinary feats. They relate to other walk-ins with ease when they meet and can recharge one another. These souls quickly and easily respond to cosmic laws, and while they will not break human laws, will simply refrain from involving themselves in some civil matters. Once the mundane chores of life are dealt with, their main goal is to help or assist with the frequency change of the Earth in its travel toward the fourth dimension. All the work and energy of a permanent walk-in is directed toward this soul. Temporary walk-in. A temporary walk-in is a soul who seeks a special assignment of short duration of days, weeks, months, or even years. The walk-in soul and the original occupant coexist within the same body using the same pineal and has been referred to as a split personality. However, there are actually two personalities, not one split. The agreement between the two souls is entered into willingly by commitment of a higher order. The intent being right, the goal of a walk-in is to be of service to the evolution of the planet. They are to complete unfinished business on the levels of cause and effect, which will affect large numbers of other souls. In other words, if a high being sees a need to effect a walk-in in order to bring a truth of light to another high being who has perhaps been trapped on Earth, then it becomes necessary to attach to a willing person long enough to gain the release of the entrapped being. Sometimes it could take weeks, months, or even years. Time is relative to how fast a soul grows to know the light, which is happening with more regularity than most people recognize. Most egos find it too hard to accept and therefore will not recognize these attachments. A walk-in's walk-in. A walk-in's walk-in is born of an Earth mother and trained by other walk-ins along the way. Many talents develop from childhood because of special teachers who come to temporarily attach themselves in order to bring instructions in music, art, dance, literary, or other special talents. Most are never aware of this as children or even as adults. Again, the ego is unable to handle that knowledge. After the special teachers take their turns training the earthborn, then comes a period of rest and observation to determine how the earthborn walk-in blends the earth soul and body to the talents. Eventually, a channel of communication is opened between the walk-in and the Galactic Council. Walk-ins, walk-ins with vision will know approximately how long a temporary walk-in will stay attached in order to do their work. A knowing sets up events into time frames. When an assignment is over, a rest is sometimes needed for the physical body of the earthborn walk-ins, walk-in. Heavy energies are transported from other dimensions, which sometimes causes a great strain on the physical body, not to mention the mental strain of having to consciously deal with several attachments, or the suffering or mental agony over the rejection of such a galactic assignment. Walk-ins walk-in has divine and special protection even beyond that of some of the masters on Earth. This is by special compensation with guidelines which masters are not required to follow. More help is brought to them because of the complexity of several galactic energies working through the body to bring to the project a higher order. All of this is to aid the planet into fourth dimension and into the new age of reason. A special task force of galactic beings were called upon to come to the planet of Earth to help in the raising of the consciousness. And this was brought about because of the increasing number of destructive measures created by souls who veered into spiritual darkness. The Galactic Council chose particular Earth women carrying starseed in their blood to bear children by them. Therefore, these children have Earth mothers, but galactic fathers. Most walk-ins walk-in are of this special human-galactic combination. There are more walk-ins, permanent and temporary, than most people can contemplate. There are fewer walk-ins, walk-ins because of the sensitivity of the assignment and specialization of the project. There are millions of walk-ins, permanent and temporary, but only thousands of walk-ins, walk-ins. In a world of billions of people, this shows the uniqueness of this group. Now, there's the catalyst walk-in. A catalyst walk-in is a soul who also has the divine protection and seems to be in the right place at the right time in order to make events happen so that the divine plan stays on schedule. Those devoted souls are the doves of the hierarchy who, for centuries, have acted as those who keep prophecy on its time track. They also specialize in coordinating people with projects to help bring the new age through a new dimensional thinking. In times to come, when referring to earth changes, these souls will be the leaders who will set up the laws which will govern the earth. Most of them know who they are, and in time will grow to realize their missions, which will be unfolded to them through dreams or visions, or even perhaps by some other walk-in. The most important thing to remember is that all must help in this joint effort of dealing with the life force of remembrance. Together, the energies will prevail when channeled in the right direction. Activating walk-ins. Activating walk-ins are those high beings who have the assignment of activating blood crystals and memory traces of the divine plan. Most of the planetary energies activate the starseed, but in some cases, this has not always worked. So those with the energies that shoot the life force of remembrance pass it on to other starseed persons, although that person may seem passive in this knowledge. Since memory is carried in the blood crystals, then physical and psychic contact is made through the electrical magnetic energy emanations coming from the body. And this brings us to physical contact, such as sexual, touching hands and passing change, brushing against another in a public place, etc. Yeah, Walmart. Yeah, right. All walk-ins, permanent, temporary, and walk-ins walk-in have the dualities of being catalyst for all activations. So, I thought I would get that all on record about walk-ins. Is there anything you'd like to say, Ariel, before I go on?
Well, yes, just to actually make an announcement, Purple Sage is having trouble getting the chat room loaded, which is not surprising considering all the weird electrical technical things that have been happening today. But she is on the chat room on our forum at starseedhotline.ning.com. So if you're a member there, you can go there to give your questions. We're still trying to get the chat room up and running. So,
you know, I'd like to kind of relay to the audience some of the weirdness that has happened since the Teton started around here. My phone went out twice, and the air conditioner stopped working. The oxygen machine stopped working here at the house for my friend. The monitor went out. I had to go buy a new monitor for the computer. I found myself flipping out and watching myself on the ceiling, watching me eat lunch today. Thought that was kind of different. It's like, okay, you know, sometimes when ETs show up or they bring you back or whatever, their energy fields are such that some electrical things just might not work. It used to be batteries. I noticed, you know, that a lot of batteries would be blown in the house, like flashlights in the car and different things. But now they've taken on bigger things like the air conditioner. And the oxygen machine. So it's like, okay. And, of course, we got marks all over us. You know, and you walk around and you walk into one room and go, how long have I been in here? There's some missing time and you know, walking, chewing gum and walking may be a little difficult for some of us now.
Well, these are typical typical over the course of time, maybe not every single occurrence, but like you said, when ET energy is involved, sometimes our little earth toys just glitch out. I thought it was strange that your phone, you could receive calls, but you couldn't make calls.
Then
it just healed itself, and then you could make calls, and then
it was the other way around. I could call out, but no one could call in.
Okay.
I could call out, but no one could call in.
Then it healed itself, and then it went back on the blink again. So it's been like back and forth. So, and I'm sure that if we took a poll throughout the audience and the members of our community, we'd come up with even more little things that, or some big things that happen like that are just unexplainable. And if you have, if you wake up and you just feel disoriented, these are all typical, nothing to worry about, and you know, you'll get your balance back after all the meetings are over, I'm sure. So I don't know. Let me just check in with Purple Sage and see what's happening here.
Okay.
Hello, Purple Sage. What's happening?
Hello. Well, still working on getting the BTR chat room loaded, but I am on the forum chat room, and people are starting to come in there. So it's a slow start, but we're good. We're good. We'll get it there.
Well, this is like just falls right in with what we're talking about, and you just have to. We just have to roll with it. And I'm glad that people have the chat on our forum, which I am wanting to start using more, because, you know, if there were always, you know, something going on the website, you'd be somebody live online that you could talk to. So I would
like to put
our forum chat room to better use, or more frequent use, put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and perhaps this gives us a chance to do that.
Well, yes, you see, it can have an upside, I guess. But
maybe there's an upside.
Yes, always. So if you are having trouble logging into the BTR chat room, just go to starseedhotline.ning. Hopefully you're a member there, and you can forward your questions on the Teton meetings or the subject of walk-ins, and I will check back with Purple Sage to pick those questions up as soon as we have some.
Absolutely. Ain't nobody going to stop us.
That's right. Okay. I'll check back.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Now I'll continue with some of the Teton report.
Okay.
So inside the Grand Teton Mountain in Wyoming is an interconnected space-time continuum, a kind of stargate where a galactic gathering takes place. January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7 of every year. This year it's July. This gathering has been in existence for hundreds of years and has been revealed to humans as early as 1708, when the 14 generation experiments were first put in motion concerning starseed bloodlines on the planet. Because of the delicate balance to be held through bloodlines, it was decided that a selected group of souls would be in charge. They'd be keeping the records from start to finish, including decisions from these meetings each year determining which bloodline and souls would participate throughout the 14-generation experiment. Some souls chose to incarnate through all of the 14 generations, while some only dipped down every seventh generation, which would be twice in the experiment. Others chose not to incarnate at all, but to walk in as needed to seed, water, fertilize, or harvest some aspect of the intended course of human history through these procedures. Those aboard spacecraft who chose not to incarnate at all were part of the genetic engineering team, which assisted in matching bloodlines to bring about the intended effect. Several galactic beings come to the Grand Teton meetings from many galaxies, planets, and solar systems through interdimensional portals, including black holes, and represent the most evolved of their race or species. And after attending these meetings, they go back to their origin with a report, which would determine their level of assistance to planet Earth. All have come to an agreement on two critical agendas. First, Earth would not be destroyed through nuclear power or crystal power, including all ET-based technologies given to the planet. And second, they would not interfere with a soul's destiny and desire to go home, no matter what home would be for that soul. The cosmic law of free will became the main guideline for all the experiments, since interfering with this law would jeopardize the experiment on so many levels. As time went on, throughout these meetings, they had to focus on a species of galactic souls who had come to the planet long ago, discarded the codes of free will, and had set forth a seeding of their own species, which was in violation of all the other experiments that the galactic councils had put forth so many millennia ago. This violation had actually begun on Earth long before the Teton meetings was even put in place, and the renegades' handiwork can be tracked back to times of ancient Atlantis, Lemuria, Egypt, Sumeria, Greece, and in other geographical areas where gold, quartz, and other minerals were abundant. Their tracks are also at some of the 33 gem powerpoints on the planet, as they too understood that the earth-to-sky dimensional power of these portals, vortexes, entrances, and exits resonated not only to their species, but to other species as well. This renegade bloodline would travel the globe, intermixing with other bloodlines, influencing people through their genetic makeup, and become troublesome to certain experiments conducted on the planet. Over time, these galactic council meetings and the Tetons decided to put a measuring device in place to filter out some of the renegade bloodlines, but as all the experiments have shown, the renegades too had ways of circumventing this measure and became smarter in the calculated upgrading of their species. Technologies were so advanced and immense in their tracking abilities that some genetic engineers had to splice and split souls into different frequencies so that they could compete with the ploys of the renegade species. Let it be known that this renegade species first came with the reptilian, draconian bloodline, but since then, others have joined them over the centuries and have supported their efforts, even infiltrating some of the Teton meetings, disguising themselves as willing participants. This occurrence, I know, will be upsetting to many who have been attending these meetings and will undoubtedly be bittersweet news that will strike hard at the core of the New Age or religious belief system. But truth can only empower your future. This year's Teton meetings especially focused on the invasion of renegade bloodlines with their own starseed, as now those mixed bloodlines had grown into such immense numbers, causing some wars to be waged not only on Earth but other planets as well. Their lust for power and greed for the resources on the planet was their first motivation. But later their lust turned towards the humans, who are gifted now with starseed abilities which can resonate to their crystalline tracking systems. Many starseed have been hijacked in this manner, especially those who have been abducted against their free will. Once the renegade bloodline put themselves in power positions on the planet, it became more difficult to counteract their lust for power. Many walk-ins have come and gone from world leaders because of the advanced technology that allows implants to dictate global events. So, we have this report up on our website if you want to see it, and this was a report that I actually wrote last year, but I thought it was most appropriate because those are the same things being said again this year. It's just an upgrading. And after all these meetings are through, I hope that I will be able to come back and possibly tell you more about some of the things that have happened. After last Teton meeting in January, I have a really close friend that had an experience, and I will just read what he wrote, okay?
Okay.
On January 11, 2011, I was in my den watching college basketball and listening to Starseed Radio Academy from my computer. At 7 p.m., I got a terrible headache. All of a sudden, there was 1 second flash of bright light. The headache continued, but I began to download visions of things to come as I continued to watch the basketball game. The following is a brief summary of that download. Using 2012 as the point of reference and not knowing the real date, the fifth dimensional change will occur, so I'm just going to use, I guess, December, around December 20th to the 24th. 1 month before December 28th or 24th, I saw a mass landing of aliens all around the world. In the time frame of this one-month period, I saw millions upon millions of people dying and leaving the planet. Those star seeds that die will assist in the transition of those moving on to the fifth dimension. All the negative energy, like the greedy bankers, the warmongers, and corrupt politicians, Wall Street swindlers, etc., well, you get the message, will be taken off the planet and sent to another less developed planet to continue their spiritual growth. They will not be able to ever return to this planet again. The ETs that have violated free will and violent acts against the human race, like the Greys and a few others, will be escorted off the planet and not allowed to return. During this month period, the economy will collapse, governments will dissolve, and total chaos will reign all over the world. After the transition period, all the new children that have come to the planet and the children that have been taken from the womb, like the missing twins, will come to the planet and become the new leaders. With help from the ETs, a new world government will be established and interstellar commerce will commence. Those non-starseed individuals will be educated by the children and will be integrated into the new society. The new third-dimensional world will have a much smaller population. Mother Earth will also cleanse herself from all the rape and pillaging of her natural resources. Upheavals will occur while the cleansing happens, and when she is through, this will once more be a beautiful blue marble planet. This is my vision. Now, I must say,
yeah,
it's like I could get behind some of that. It's like I see why it's happening, and these are the things that are discussed. And so how it probably translated is that he came back from the Tetons and with one flash of insight decided to sit down and write this. So, you know, anyone out there that's having visions of this magnitude or not, or, you know, anything at all, be sure and you know, email them to us and we'll share them, you know, with the rest of the group.
Would you just describe, you know, just kind of paint a picture for people that don't have memory of being there, you know, with the Emerald Computer and all the beings. Just
so what will happen is if you're one of these 144,000 that will come every 45 minutes, first of all, your soul and bloodline, you know, will be, you know, in alignment. And, you know, there's an old saying, you know, when the light goes on, it's because the mind accepts what the soul already knows. Well, that's kind of what happens because you'll be taken. What they do is they have, you've got to understand this really far advanced technology that can actually take your soul out of your body, put another device in your body to keep your body going while you're gone. They take it, and when you get there, they run it through an emerald, I call it the Emerald Computer because of the hue that it creates. And once this soul goes through it, then your physical body will be holographically shown to everyone in the group. And so you'll see people there and go, oh, I know you. I saw you on Facebook or whatever. Yeah, and so the downloads will happen. Now, here's the interesting part. Because time is so different there than here, 45 minutes is actually 2 weeks there.
Oh.
That's how much information is given to you in 45 minutes of our time. And there goes one of my contact lenses. Okay, hold on.
just another thing that's been happening today is they just keep popping out of your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the, oh, man, there went another one. Okay, they're both out now. I'm sitting here without my contacts. So then after you get all your instructions and your alignment comes because of your bloodline, because of your soul requirements of participation, and maybe your masterships, and because you're on the planet at this time and we're going into through such a change on the planet that a lot of souls agree to speed up some of their karmic interaction. They're no longer wanting to get on the wheel and just keep doing it over and over and over. They want to clear a lot of records and move on. And that's mostly what it's about. And a lot of people get reset buttons. In other words, okay, I can't remember why I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to the Tetons now because I get a reset button, and hopefully when I wake up, my bloodline and my soul will help me, you know, get back on that horse and ride. And that's part of the experiments, though, to see how many people can actually consciously step up. And that's why it's every 6 months.
And do you think that if a person had been there and received their, you know, given their information, received information, whatever work was done during those 45 minutes of Earth time and 2 weeks of their time, might they expect that following this time that there would be changes in their lives, new understanding, new people come in, new beginnings, completion of old things that are, you know, not serving us to go on with?
Right. I've had a lot of people say, you know, after the meetings, I got a walk-in that came to help me, and I changed my job, I moved, and I divorced my husband. I mean, I get those kind of things all the time. You never know. Then some people say, I didn't experience anything, nothing's changed, and I'm just bored with my life, and that's it. Well, that, when you say I'm bored with my life, that pretty well says, you know, you've missed your time track someplace, and you're either at the wrong location with the wrong people, or you are in a negative down spiral that just you're just waiting for someone to take you out of here. That's what it says to me. So,
but it could also be that they're so in alignment and so on track that nothing seems to change because they were.
Yeah, that's true, too.
They were completely where they needed to be.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, I see it happening both ways.
Okay. Sierra, have you had any...
Yes.
You have any experiences or unusual things that you think might be tied to the Teton meetings with you and your walk-in?
Yes, actually. So what's been happening here has been actually pretty tremendous. There's been a lot of high strangeness going on. Last time that the Teton meetings were around, I asked, after being educated, that I wanted to remember the Teton meetings and what was going on. And I still chose to go ahead and remember. So this time when the Teton meetings came around, it's interesting. I also have given a lot more room to have experiences and to be able to be taken up or talked to or go aboard ship because I've basically tailored my life in that way. I'm out here now in Cornville, Arizona, in the middle of nowhere, and I'm here to be writing my book and to continue to work with the information that I get, continue to be at service of with my mission. And so over the last couple of days, it's been pretty tremendous. I have been finding myself out of body completely at all times during the day and night. And I feel like I've been at the Teton, I know that I've been at the Teton meetings just about every day and every night. So, you know, there's been a couple of experiences of people around me where I basically lay back and I'm gone. And I'm out for at the minimum of 45 minutes to an hour and 15 minutes. And when I come back, it's just I've been spending the time assimilating a lot of the information that I've been getting and a lot of the experiences that I've been having. But everything that Lavendar has spoken up to this point is what I've been experiencing and watching them track all the bloodlines, watching people make their choice as to whether or not they're going to stay on this plane or evolve to the next. And there's been a lot of even work that I've been doing with people in time traveling to the near future and to the far future. And because people can't make choices unless they get a glimpse of what could, you know, possibly be the outcome of their choice. And so I've been doing a lot of work with people on a time travel basis, actually taking forward in time and backwards and different things like that. So I've been actually working with people as they're making their choices. I've also been on Atomic Beauty Watch. There's been a lot of stuff going on around with nuclear plants in the United States over the last week or so that's very concerning. And so as a part of my rites of passage is Atomic Duty. So I've been doing a lot of work with the people who are on site with these at these particular facilities and installations. And so it's a multi-dimensional type work that I've been experiencing and what I've been up to during the Teton meetings. But it's never for the lack of, it's not boring around my house ever. It's a lot of fun. It can be really stressful. It can be a lot of fun, and it can be very serious. So I just constantly am doing what I need to do for myself, taking care of myself and having the conversations and just being around others that are of like mind and spirit just to have a break, you know. And so the land here has been feeding me and giving me the energy that I need to be doing the work, but there are a lot of things going on right now. I've been doing a lot of work within my Native American bloodline also. And so it's just, I could have a whole show and just talk to you about what I've been doing in the last 4 or 5 days. But that's basically a general overview.
Well, I can relate to everything you said, absolutely. So I looked on our friend Catherine Brinkley's website and found some. It's called A Pagan's Prayer, and I'd like to read it now. May I be no man's enemy, and may I be a friend of that which is eternal and abides. May I never quarrel with those nearest to me, and if I do, may I be reconciled quickly. May I never devise evil against any man. May I love, seek, and attain only that which is good. May I wish for all men's happiness and envy none. May I never rejoice in the ill fortune of one who has wronged me. When I have done or said what is wrong, may I never wait for rebuke of others, but always rebuke myself until I make amends. May I win no victory that harms either me or my opponent. May I reconcile friends who are wroth with one another. May I, to the extent of my power, give all needful help to my friends and to all who are in want. May I never fail a friend in danger. When visiting those in grief, may I be able to be gentle and healing words to soften their pain. May I respect myself. May I always keep tame that which rages within me. May I accustom myself to be gentle and never be angry with people because of circumstances. May I never discuss who is wicked and what wicked things he has done, but know good men and follow in their footsteps. I thought that was kind of profound today, especially after some of the things that have been discussed at the Teton meetings.
Yeah. Well, I'm bouncing back and forth here. I did get the chat room open on Blog Talk, and we have people going over to the forum, so I'm going back and forth trying to approve membership so people can get into the forum chat. So kind of bouncing back and forth here. Let me check in with Purple Sage.
I need to go take care of these contact lenses before they fly away.
Okay. Hi, Purple Sage.
Hello.
So
this is interesting.
Exactly where
go ahead. I'm being told that there actually is a chat room on BTR open, and they can see that the host is there. Although I'm signed in as the host, and I'm not able to get it to fully load, so I'm not quite sure what the heck is going on.
Well, I had the option to open up a small chat window here in the studio, so I went ahead to do that just to try to bridge the gap here, and I'm trying to host a show and make sure if I can see some questions. And
sorry about that.
Okay, back in forum. The forum chat, Marcy, is on our starseedhotline.ning. Thank you, Carrie, for putting that website up. Yeah, so you could go over there, and I can approve you really quick if you want to get into the chat. But this is
and the chat room over there is growing by the second. I'm seeing new names coming up every time I look at it.
Okay, well, I'll just keep refreshing the page here to make sure, because we have it set up where you need to be approved for membership, because this is a very special community. And, you know, once in a while we get some scavengers who are just looking for spam outlets and, you know, whatever. And so we just want to make sure that it's only Starseed. So, yeah, there's a little couple of questions that we ask people to answer to help, you know, determine that you're really, you know, genuinely looking for, you know, Star Family group discussions, you know, appropriate reasons for joining. So that's how come we've had to set it up the way that it is, just to provide a safe forum community where we can be with our own kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and if I'm going to, I can't just refresh the page and see, we have, one more pending.
Yes, it's wonderful to see so many people coming onto our chat.
Yeah, well, I just approved another for membership there. So we would like to use the chat room on the hotline more than it's being used, because you can have a chance to talk to people. We have members from all around the world. When you go onto the main page, you can see the globe there. All the little green dots represent a member, and you can see it really does cover the world. So you can get to know people from another country, but we're all starseed and find out how much we have in common. So it's kind of our way of shrinking the world. Oh my goodness, look at and you can see when the little flags go up, we've got people in Norway, Edmonton, Connecticut, Arizona,
Georgia.
Hawaii, Georgia. Well, that would be me. And
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Danbury, Connecticut, Honolulu.
Yeah, it's good to see the forum being used and the chat room on the forum being used. So we are going to I'm going to go down through here and see if we have – we do have some callers now with questions. And go ahead.
While you have me on the line, I do have a question here from our forum chat room.
Okay.
There are two of our listeners who is happening to go over to the Tetons tomorrow. Now, it was my understanding that the Teton meetings last about 5 days, and somewhere in there somebody wrote that everything that they've read, they last about 7 days. Can you clear that up for us?
Yeah, it is 7 days.
It is
7 days. You know,
sometimes
they
okay.
last a little longer depending on, you know, we say it's always 1 through 7, but I've actually been involved as long as 3 weeks at a time, a week before sometimes. And a couple of weeks after, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, Tammy and I were talking about it today, and neither one of us really have had any experiences with it this time. So I have a question about that. Are we called every time?
Yes, if you're on that that lineage and the soul duty, you will be called. You may not remember, but you will be called.
Okay, because I know for me personally, there's times when I know exactly when they came and got me, and when I came back, I don't remember what happened while there, you know, but this time there hasn't been anything. So we were just wondering about that.
Oh, you know, they're not over.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. That's the only question that I have for right now from my side of the chat that I can see.
Okay. Well, if you were to log in to the switchboard now,
mm-hmm.
Sage, I have the chat opened. I don't know if you'll be able to see it or not, but just want to let you know.
Okay. I will.
I don't
look.
Know that it's. Yeah, I don't know. This is all new to me. So we're going to take some callers now. That was all you had from the chat room as far as questions.
Mhm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll check back in just a little minute. As Purple Sage continues the juggling act between chat rooms, can she do it? Yes, she can. Okay. Thanks, sweetie. We'll be back in a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. All right. Well, we have some callers now with comments. We are going to talk to Max first. Hang on a second. Hello, Max. You're on the air.
Hey Ariel. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Good to hear from you.
Great. I didn't want to call again because I had called so many times lately and let other people talk, but I had a pretty amazing experience today, and I shared it already on the forum, and I just wanted to, actually, I had four experiences, two good ones and two not so good ones. Which ones do you want me to start with?
Lavender?
The good ones or the not so good ones?
You just start, just tell us everything.
Okay. I start with the not so good one then. 2 days ago, I was maybe some people saw it on the forum. I have a new little hideout in the country, and I spent a night over there, kind of camping. And I had a really good day, you know, and I did some meditations there and in the morning. And I wanted to go on a bike ride, and I was just like 300 feet out of my house, and then suddenly these dogs came, and one of them was like a pit bull. And he attacked me and bit me in the leg, you know, and he kept going after me. And but luckily I could use my bike as a shield to defend myself, and I was able to get away. And so I got out of that situation mostly unharmed, you know, a little shocked, but unharmed. So that was one one experience I had. I got bitten and everything, but I felt it was for a higher purpose. So because I felt that I was bitten so that the community could know that there's a problem dog around, because he only lives 200 feet from the high school there, you know. So that was the first experiences I had. Then the other experience I had was today. I was in Spokane, and I was at the doctor's, and we drove back home after the appointment, and we were on the highway in the right lane, and suddenly this this motorcycle Harley Davidson overtakes us, you know, with the boom 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 boom, this very tip, very special sound it makes. And there's this, you know, biker on there with his sunglasses and mustache and everything, and he just overtakes us. And then I look at his back, the t-shirt he's wearing, and it says in big letters Grand Teton, and there's this huge grizzly bear with his fangs open and just like kind of threatening, you know. and that was like really, and I just got like a shivers down my spine, you know, because it's like it was just amazing to see this Grand Teton right in front of my eyes, and then this bear who kind of looked like that pit bull who attacked me, you know. and so what I suspect is that there is something, it's what about the renegades, it's, I think they're in their last rows, they're trying to oppose us, you know. And I felt that pit bull attacking me was like almost like an attempt by these renegade bloodlines to bring me down, you know, literally. And and harm me or maybe even kill me, you know, because these pit bulls are really dangerous. I'm just losing my thoughts here. So those were those two experiences I had. And then there was another one this weekend in our local paper. It's called the Elk Sentinel. And I looked in there. I usually don't read it, but there was this this article called Uranium Mines Near Elk, Washington. And I read through it, and then I read that the mines, they were incorporated on May 19th, 1955, during the Pleiadian lineup. And then I started reading further into the article, and it said, other mining interests in the Mount Spokane area included the mining of 188,000 tons of the mineral silica between 1959 and 1962 on Quartz Mountain, southeast of Mount Spokane summit, and this proved beneficial. Silica is used in the cement industry and the electrometallurgical plants across the country. You know, so, I mean, because just through you guys, I found out about silica, and then through this article, I found out that there was a huge deposit of silica just really close to us here, you know. So I didn't connect the dots till today, and after I saw that biker on the with the T-tone T-shirt. So that was the third experience, and the last experience was it has to do with walk-ins, and that was a rather, I don't know if it's negative or bad. I don't want to judge it, but there's a really famous, he's rather famous in the conspiracy research community. His name is Charlie Veach from England, and he came out on June 30th saying that he now, and he was always a huge promoter of 9/11 was an inside job, and he came out on June 30th saying, oh, I suddenly believe now that the official government story that 9/11 wasn't an inside job. And it just sent this shockwave through the conspiracy research community, you know. And I feel that he either had a walk out or that he, I don't know, got possessed to kind of, I don't know, cause confusion or whatever. So that's just what I wanted to share, and I'd like to get your feedback on that, especially from you, Lavender, what you think about this guy doing a total 180 on 9/11 was an inside job, and now he promotes the official government story. Thank you.
Okay, Lavender.
Well, you know, the implant technology that's being used on the planet now, and I will go into that in greater detail when I do Trickster Part 2, but they can take individuals and turn them 180 on their conspiracies or whatever they've been promoting. That's a mind control thing that happens, and, you know, once you see it, you go, uh-oh, well, you know, they got to him. I don't know this person, I don't know this story. But just from what you said, that sounds like, you know, one of those mechanisms that they just turn on a switch and make it happen, 180.
Yeah, it was amazing. So, and do you have any other feedback on what I told you for me personally?
Well, I think that, you know, everybody has experiences, and what I may think about it may be totally different than what actually happened to you. It's your experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of explanations for what you experienced. I think one of the main things that you said that activated me was seeing Teton on the back of his shirt. I thought, wow, that's really right on about this moment in time. And
yeah,
I think it was maybe a confirmation that you are attending.
Yeah, maybe. That would be great, yeah. So... that's it. Do you have any other questions, Ariel, or
well, I
comments?
Just a comment as far as the dog thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that, you know, from a Native American perspective on that, that this, I mean, because dogs are about loyalty, and
mm-hmm.
if this dog was biting at you,
mm-hmm.
You just might want to look around the people that are surrounding you, people that you think, you know, are trustworthy, are really not,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, when a dog bites you, you have to, because I'm just saying with the Native American slant on it, it's about loyalty and then being bitten if you are, you know, misplaced your loyalty in someone around you. And if you can't come up with anything, it doesn't make any sense, then that's fine. But it's always something to ponder because
mm-hmm.
I really watch nature and get messages from nature and animals and things like that. Now, because it's during the Teton meetings, it may be something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
But like Lavendar said, then you see the man with the Grand Teton picture, Grand Teton written on his shirt. It's just where you should be focusing because you know
mm-hmm.
what's going on and what that's all about. You know, keep your eyes focused on the goal, and you might want to tighten up your circle.
Exactly. The other interesting thing was I filed a police report just to have it on record, and the police officer took pictures of the dog, too. And in the first picture, the dog is surrounded by hundreds of orbs. And it's almost what I got is that it was like almost possessed, you know, like not all orbs are positive, you know. And what my experience is, the more orbs in a picture, there's more dissonance, you know. If the energy is clear, it's usually just a few orbs, but they're bigger. And the picture of that dog, it was like 100, 200 orbs, really small ones. That was another thing that was really, really extraordinary about the situation.
Well, at this point, we just keep your eyes open, pay attention, and see what happens
mm-hmm.
next, and then your answers will come as things will fall into place, either, you know, just as you wake up or over time. But I want to thank you for calling and sharing your experiences, and keep us posted. You know, you can put them up on the forum and see what other people, see if anyone had similar experiences.
Yeah, I will do that. Thank you very much, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Max.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. We are going to go to, Mr. Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Hello there, ladies.
So
how
I understand
are you all?
We're doing just great. You have a little bit of high strangeness to report?
Oh, yes. I'm on my third new cell phone in 4 days.
Your what?
My third new cell phone in 4 days.
Oh, my.
Yeah. My computer has been doing backflips. I don't know what that's all about. I was so pleased that I could get you all on today and had this gorgeous picture of the Tetons on my screen. Wow, that is so
That's
helpful.
A good one.
I really appreciate it.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, yeah. One of the other things that's going on with me is what's happening with my eyes right now. A few years ago, I had a siege of macular degeneration, which they were able to cure. And I haven't even thought about it in several years. And then with all the fires that came up, with the smoke and the particulates and everything, it totally reactivated the macular degeneration, which is a scary thing because you just
mm-hmm.
can't see.
Right.
My left eye is sort of squished down, so I see things on a horizontal level, and my right eye is vertical, so I see things on a tall, thin level. So when you put them together to try to read, it's virtually impossible. Now, I was at a restaurant here in Pecosa Springs, where I live, and this woman, total stranger, walked up to me and she said, "You know, you don't need your physical eyes to complete your assignment," which I thought was a sort of interesting thing for a total stranger to walk up to me and say.
Yeah.
And I agreed with her. No, I don't need them, but they sure are convenient, you know, to be able to read. And then the woman who owns the house that I'm renting, I had let her know, sent her an email and told her I would try to get something to her. And she called back. She was so excited. She said, "Don't you understand? This is going to change totally the way you view the world." She said, "You're going to have a whole new kind of vision." And I went, "Well, that could be, you know."
Mm-hmm.
And in the interim, I'm looking at my computer, and I can't quite read the things that are on. I can see Ariel's picture, and I can see Teton. So anyway, I was in Santa Fe in the year 2000 when they had the last big fire at Los Alamos, and I could look out. I lived up just across from Los Alamos, and the fire was green and orange and purple and gold and all these amazing colors. And I had a student who was living in Los Alamos, who's head of all the computers up there. So I called him and I said, "What in the world is going on?" And he said, "Well, they don't want to talk about it, but in the early years, they just dug pits and put all the waste in those pits. And it soaked down into the earth, and now it's being leached up into the trees. And so what you're seeing is actually radioactivity being burned and spread all over the countryside." Well, that was scary enough, but then this time when the same thing happened, they said, "Oh, no, that was a mistake. That's not what's going on." And yet in the pictures you still see orange and purple and green and all these different colors of the trees burning. So it's an amazing time, you know, with everything that's going on. The other thing that's happening to me is that more than ever, Lavendar, the chart that you did for me is making such clear, intelligent sense in a way that I was never able to look at it before. So that's very exciting. And then I'm lying down for naps, and I wake up like 3 hours later. And I know I've been somewhere, but I don't remember any of the details. But this has been going on now for the last 3 or 4 days. So hopefully I'll be able to start remembering things, and I'll report them in when I figure them out.
what a report
we're living in.
Wow. Did you ever get some vitamin D3 that Catherine told you about?
You know, this is interesting, because the doctor down at the Albuquerque a hospital down there, and I asked him about it, and he said, "You know, that works to prevent macular degeneration," he said, "but it won't stop it." And I said, "Well, I've heard otherwise." He said, "Well, we're doing experiments on it in the VA. We have so many people who, you know, are having this right now." And he said, "That appears to be the fact." He said, "It just doesn't stop it, but for people to take it beforehand, that can prevent it." Now, this is an Indian doctor, okay? He's from India. And so I asked him if he got his education there, or he said, "No, mostly in the United States." He's head of the Department of Ophthalmology at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. The man is brilliant and knows exactly what he's doing. And then he looked at me with sort of a smile in his eye. He said, "Of course, you might be influenced by the fact that I was part of Mother Teresa's clinic in Calcutta." And I lost it. I laughed so hard. He said, "Yes, I thought you would get, you know, the significance of that." So I just looked at him and I said, "Well, you're obviously the doctor for me." And he said, "Look, if you were cured once of this, we can cure you now." Before, he said, it was only in one eye. Now it's in both eyes. But he said, it's the kind of macular degeneration that can be cured. It's the kind they call wet. The dry kind goes directly into blindness, and that's not what this is. So I'm looking at it as this incredible opportunity. I'm not quite sure for what, but I'm going now next week for another set of injections. They just, you know, right into the eyeball with hypodermic. And
well, I think I would still take vitamin D3. I think that you might just prove him wrong.
Well, I will do that. I will find some here and do that as well, Lavendar. I had that thought, but I didn't follow through on it. But thank you for that validation. I will do that.
It's vitamin D3. Make sure it's D3.
D3, yes. I remember that was the case. Who knows what will happen the next time I'll see you all, and I think I will see you again. But it's so funny that this is all taking place in Albuquerque, where we all met.
I know.
For that convention down there. It's just, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not asking questions. I'm just being directed.
Yeah, good for you, Joseph. Well,
yes.
I think that we should probably do an Emerald Ray for him now, don't you think, Ariel?
Yes.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Thank you.
Joseph, what town are you in right now?
I'm in Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
Okay. For those who are experienced with this, you know what to do. And for those that are not, we are going to focus as a group on Joseph in Pagosa Springs, Colorado, and send him an emerald ray, the most beautiful green emerald ray of light, like a laser beam, and focus it on Joseph in Pagosa Springs. Together on the count of three, and we'll have about 15 seconds of silence while we do this. Okay, breathe three times and go. One. Two. Three. Beautiful, strong, emerald green ray. Healing all around Joseph. Healing his eyes. Lifting him up. Thank you, Starseed.
Oh, yes, thank everyone. That was really quite extraordinary. I love you guys so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Joseph. And we will continue, through the week. If you listen to the show in the archives, ahead and add your emerald ray along with ours, and just keep it coming.
And remember, Joseph, that the eyes are the window of the soul.
Yes, thank you. That one has popped into my head several times, our Lavendar.
Okay. Joseph,
thank you. Yes.
You take care, and we will talk to you next time.
I assure you will. I'll give you a report.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, next we are going to hear from Jen from Santa Fe. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, I met many of you at the Wake Up Now conference.
What a wonderful time that was.
I was at the booth in front. I happened to get the wonderful gift to get to assist Dolores Cannon. But I did start to listen to y'all. I was guided to just find you out of the blue. I think I Googled Starseed Blog Radio. Of course, you came up. So I guess the energy through the Wake Up Conference and you and all of us, it called me in before I met you. And anyway, so I thank you, and I wanted to share a couple of kind of positive things or circles that have been brewing in Santa Fe that seem to tie in with the energies you're speaking of. One is something called the It's called the Gathering of the Golden Dolphins. And we have met two times, and that is the host behind that is a woman named Nina Brown, who is an author of a book called Return of Love to Planet Earth. And that's a memoir of a reluctant visionary. And so she's really involved with the activation of the grid, the what she calls the 144 crystal planetary grid, And she's creating circles and gatherings, and I guess they're happening all over the place, but we are having them in Santa Fe. And we just had a pretty phenomenal gathering on Sunday, on the 3rd. So if anyone is interested in aligning with all of that, she is at crystalsinger.com. And a lot of people had amazing insight. Yeah.
Great timing, since the Teton meetings are in progress as we speak.
Okay.
Yeah, and did you want to talk about that gathering and some nuclear-related issues?
Yeah, I wanted to just tune in on the, you know, I live in Santa Fe, and I was in a conference called Santa Fe Holistic Fair, the Santa Fe Holistic Fair. I was exhibiting. I do Dolores' work myself. And so that fire started right in the middle of when many light workers were gathered. So the 26th. And it was a wild weekend to have so much high vibrational energy open and then to have that fire at the same exact time. And overall, I felt very like guided and protected. And then I had a moment where I tuned into Amy Goodman's show on the radio, which I need to learn just not to do very much anymore. And I kind of got into that hate/fear vibe, and I went on my downward spiral, and I had to call a friend with psychic abilities, who also has a radio show, a woman named Tawn, and she kind of talked me back up, out, and through it, and she told me that the energies, the off-planet family has an investment in protecting all of that, and whatever she said to me, I just snapped out of it and went back to the positive. But I just wanted to hear, Sierra, what your feedback, if you could say a little more on that. It felt really great to hear what you were saying about your being a part of the power and positivity behind all that, and I just wanted to hear what your feedback is about all this that's happening, and it seems to be on the grid lines here at the Power Spot, but where there's been great creation and great destruction all in the same spot.
Sierra? I know she's there somewhere.
Yes,
Sierra.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes, I'm here.
I know you're having your phone muted, so I just see you pushing the button.
Yeah, it was. She wasn't responding.
Yeah. So do you have a reply for Jen?
I do apologize. I missed that last part because I went through some cell phone stuff. Could you please repeat the question?
Yeah, I was kind of taking a long, drawn-out path to get to it, but I was saying I had had I'd been in a holistic, expo the weekend that the fire started, the weekend the fire in Los Alamos broke out. And so I was overall feeling a lot of we were not alone, and we were very protected. And even though it was very frightening that the fire was the biggest fire in New Mexico's history, and that it was so close to the nuclear waste, I was very reassured when I heard what you said, that you've been going back and forth and kind of part of that team. And I wondered what you could report in to us. People who live on the planet, where we've where nuclear waste and reactors and bombs have been created, and when a fire like this is approaching them, what's the higher vibrational news behind all of this from what you're experiencing and knowing and seeing?
Okay, great. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of different things set in place. The very last and worst case scenario would be actual intervention from our extraterrestrial brothers and sisters. But what we've been doing is empowering people
and visiting people who actually work in and around those nuclear reactors in their dreams, having them come to the Tetons, explaining all of the outcomes of the particular direction that we're headed in right now with our atomic energy. And there's been a lot of walk-ins. There's actually a lot of them that have chosen walk-ins to come in so that, you know, they're brought up and they're shown through the Emerald computer like a holograph. Okay, this is the direction we're moving in. This is what's going to happen. And when you're brought into the Tetons like that or when you're contacted, it's not a mental process that people go through. They actually feel the ramifications on so many different levels. It's hard for people to stand in the face of what they're shown and say, I'm not going to take any action. So very specifically targeted people that are actually on site at nuclear reactor sites, people who are at what we're really hitting hard right now are the people who are the ones to regulate those sites, because what's been happening is there's been a lot of slippage of acceptable radiation levels in the trees, the soil, and the surrounding areas. There's been a lot of, you know, money and stuff like that, some things that have been going on. So how we respond is to actually, okay, fine, let's just bring these people up on ship, show them the outcome of the actions that are being taken, and see, most of, like I said, it's really, really hard. I've not seen any of them that say, I'm not going to do that. So what we have are people that on site that we're contacting and giving options to take different action. We also have energetic things that we're setting in place.
Really, really hard.
I'm sorry?
Her call was just dropped. I'm sorry, Jen.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so I'll just go on and with the rest of
what
I was saying.
Maybe she'll call back.
Okay, great. And that energetic things, when certain energetic things are tripped where radiation levels are rising, everyone has to get, first of all, there is a spaceship designated for every single one of the nuclear sites all over the world. It is being constantly watched. And there's constantly meetings and different things happening about even daily decisions that are happening. In the last Teton meeting, we were told that this stuff was going to start happening with the nuclear reactors, even in the United States, because we saw the water coming, we saw tornadoes, we saw different things that are going to start happening. And so starting even several years ago, we've been taking action to put people in place, walk-ins, light workers, that even just one day wake them and go, you know what, I'm not going to approve this anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. We're also starting to wake up people who have the financial means to start playing the power game on the ground with regulatory issues around all the nuclear waste. Now, we're also working on foreign governments also to start putting pressure on reversing and doing away with atomic power and atomic anything has to do with atomic power, nuclear power. And so the battle is on because there has been a lot of money on the opposite side thrown at trying to buy their way or trying to tell people. Our biggest thing that we've been dealing with in the last couple of weeks is people not, the average person not being told that the radiation levels are in danger or at dangerous levels and all these different nuclear sites are starting to happen right now. And so what we're doing is we're combating that by having light workers throw a lot of information all over the internet and flood the internet with the truth that's going on out there. So again, it's back to discernment. People need to get on the web and choose not to watch or participate in the fear mongering that's going on out there and just get educated and then choose if it's your rite of passage to get involved with these particular things. Now, ongoingly, not only is it on the ground work, walk-in work, money work, playing at the game that's set in place, but ongoingly we also have energy and raising people's consciousness and their awareness. Ongoingly, when we do our own work and we raise our own awareness, our own consciousness, it has a domino effect on the average everyday person. People are actually just waking up knowing the truth about stuff. And that is continuing to happen out there in the world right now. as far as this atomic thing is, we are moving in a direction to have people move away from atomic energy and to bring forward the sustainable energy projects that we've got going on out there. We're also funding and putting more money into those people's hands to get that in the forefront of people's minds and attention. But unfortunately, there might have to be a little bit of uncomfortableness to the United States and the people, the citizens of the United States. So, you know, they're watching everything that's going over in Japan. They're like, well, it's not my backyard. I don't have to worry about it. Now, all of a sudden, we've got green and red and blue smoke coming from Los Alamos and the fires that are spreading around here in the Southwest. And it's getting people to wake up. It's uncomfortable. It's not very healthy for us, but it's waking the droves up by the millions. So there are things that we can do. There is technology out there to retroact all the nuclear stuff that's been putting in our environment. So don't worry, we're not all going to die and have our, you know, it's not, please don't go down that fear. Understand that we are on top of this, we've been working with it, and we're putting other things in place. So that's what I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sierra. And in the meantime, Jen was able to call back in. And just want to say, hey, Jen, sorry about that. There is so much electrical weirdness going on here. yeah, I mean, we have people in the chat room that are logging in and logging out, and I don't know if they're dropping in and dropping out, but they've been having the same problems that we've had all night. So we're glad you got back in, and I hope that Sierra was able to answer your question.
Absolutely. I'm gonna listen again and ponder more deeply what was said, but it sounded like what I feel, and then, you know, some of it I don't know, and I'm happy to hear and learn about.
Good.
I wanted to mention two other things also while I'm here. One is, I don't know if anyone on the show knows about this, but we have a thing in Santa Fe, it can be Googled, that's called the Do Return. And it's a group of very young people in their 20s. They call themselves Meow Wolf. And they created a ship that's it's a literal physical ship that looks like a giant old ancient sailing vessel. But inside it has a panel like on Star Trek or in a spaceship. And so it's the young people of what we call the City Different, Santa Fe, have created a multidimensional ship, and it's in a kind of a museum setting. And they're having live music and all different things. And my friend took about 50 kids from outside the area on a field trip to teach them and show them that anything you can envision, you can actually create. They got grants. And so that can be visited at the doreturn.com. And there was a photo I have that had many, 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 many orbs in the very high point of the ship. Someone's done lighting work, and they've created what looks like you're out beyond this universe or something, with lights of all different rainbow colors on the ceiling above the space. But I just wanted to let people know what the new kids here are creating, and I love that reminder that wherever we are, whatever age kids we are, that as we gather, we can create whatever we're here to create too.
Well, thank you very much, Jen. And that is so true, that in, you know, the power in numbers, and when you're talking about starseed, it's amazing what we can do when we come together in unison of purpose. So, Jen, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure, and great to connect with y'all.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Lots of love to you and all the audience.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, speaking of the Emerald Ray, some of you might have known that on the forum I put up a request to do an experiment to telepathically communicate with my galactic horse about leaving his shoes on. And so far, so good. To catch the rest of you up to speed, if you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, I have a galactic horse who's a Pleiadian in a horse suit, and I've raised him since he was Well, I had his mother before him, so I've always had him. And he has decided that he does not want shoes on his feet, and he pulls them off. Well, he's just recently had a health problem, which is now well on the mend, almost a miraculous recovery, and he needs to have at least shoes on his front feet. So I asked everybody to please just, his name is Avatar, and he's just north of Atlanta, Georgia. So whenever you think about it, just call up and say, hey, Tari, you're leaving those shoes on, aren't you? They're good for you. You know that your mother would never do anything that wasn't good for you. So we just need him to keep his shoes on for a couple of months, and then he'll be all better. So and it's working. It is amazing. You know, we use the Emerald Ray to give him a head start back into health, and within a week's time, he picked up over 50 pounds that he had lost the week before. So it's great. I certainly appreciate it. So let me check in with Purple Sage. She is over on the forum chat room at starseedhotline.ning.com because she, for some reason, just couldn't get into the BTR chat room, which I'm trying to keep an eye on myself just so that we can get any of your questions answered. So we're going to check in with Purple Sage. Hello.
Hello. You know, it must be on my end. This summer, the energies in my computer have just been haywire. So, you know, but I am hearing people on our chat room at the Starseed Hotline say that they are getting booted out of the other chat room. So you see them, you know, signing in and out. They're probably getting booted out and coming back in. But anyway, I have a couple of questions here, and then I have someone who is still writing their question, so I'll have it for the next time.
Okay.
Someone wrote in this chat, they are warning people in the area of the Tetons, I guess, to be careful right now because there are so many grizzly bears out, which is somewhat relevant to what Max said when he called in. The bears are lower than usual because we have so much snow. P.S. Since we are going in person tomorrow, does anyone have any suggestions for how to best take advantage of the energies since the meetings are going on right there now?
Well,
go ahead.
I said that, thank you for reminding us about the grizzly bear presence, and it is good to be very, very careful since we know that they are very active at this time. As far as, I don't think that there is an energy to be taken advantage of during the Teton meetings. It's more than more appropriate to say, how can you best align your energies to be in the flow with that, which will take you to your, you know, to your next level of evolution. So, Lavendar, do you want to comment on that?
No, you said it just perfect. That's it.
Okay. Yes, it's just aligning yourself to your natural state, knowing who you are, and committing your energy to the accomplishment of evolution of a whole planet and people, and being a voice in the chorus that gets that done. And then it's more like how ask not what they can do for you, but what you can do for them.
Ariel, can I make another comment?
Sure.
I just wanted to follow up with, and I have to apologize, I'm high-wired right now, so I was bouncing all over the place. One thing that I wanted to make, that my walk-in wanted to make sure that everybody knew and understood, is that we as human beings, we've forgotten how powerful we are. And we can, just by merely envisioning a new world, bring it into existence. By merely just envisioning what kind of life it is that we want to lead, can actually bring it into existence. That's why it's so important not to get caught up in fear and to buy into all the old programming that's been going on for so long. And so really going in inward and visualizing the balance in the earth, the balance in society, instead of getting overwhelmed and saying, who am I in the face of all of that? I have no power. I have no influence. I can't do anything. That's what they want you to think. They want you to think that it's so big and so massive and you can't change the government and you can't change the way things are because they've been that way for so long. Literally, by going inward and envisioning the world it is that you want to see that's in balance and us having the full access to all of the DNA, all of the power that we have, the full essence of who we are, is what our work is right now. It truly is what our work is right now. And getting caught up and being afraid is just doing the same thing all over again. So even in the face of the scary stuff that's happening and going to happen for a little bit, it's just birthing pains of the new world that's coming forward. But we all have a job to do. We all have visualization and activation process to go through. So I just wanted to put that on the air for people.
Very well said. Very well said. Stand in your own light and add your light to others who are doing the same. Well, I'm going to check in here with, I'm just going to take a look through the chat room here. So do we have any questions? I know we have two chat rooms going tonight, one on Blog Talk.
There is one more question here.
Okay.
Somebody asked if there is a Starship Athena, and if so, is there any information on it?
Lavendar, that's you.
Yes, there is, and that information is being cloaked right now and not for distribution at this time.
Okay, well, at least we know there is.
Okay, was there another question?
Nope, that was it. That was the question.
Okay. All right, then. I will come back to you in a little bit. I'm trying to working on the switchboard and this chat room here.
There are a couple of people in the other chat who are regulars who offered to help out in that way, Ariel, so that you wouldn't have to be so bogged down with both the chat and the show.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
That would be great. Some of our regulars who knows everybody can
they'll relay the questions to me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be great. That'll be great. And I will I'll be back in a little bit. We have we only have about 20 minutes to go. So if you do have any questions or comments that you'd like to share, now would be the time. Okay, Lavendar, would you take over for a minute here? I'm going to just finish up with this chat room thing here.
Okay, well, let's see. I was looking through some of my one-liners today. I love those one-liners. And I came across a couple that I wanted to share. And one is, when you play with almost warriors of spirit, you play at the high end of the spectrum of struggle. Let me read that again. When you play with almost warriors of spirit, you play at the high end of the spectrum of struggle. And I laminated that one time and stuck it on my refrigerator so I would never forget that. But in moving, I lost that lamination, so today I just printed out a new copy. Another one is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And I thought that was pretty, you know, right on with those of us that are in the Starseed family and we're becoming more aligned to our work, then it shows that our future is in alignment with Starseed projects on the planet. So those are the couple of things I wanted to share.
Well,
you have some great one-liners.
You have some great one-liners. And we have them cleverly hidden on the website, Starseed Hotline, our main site, where if you roll your mouse over some of the images, some of my very, very favorite Lavendarisms are hidden below the images that you can see if you roll your mouse over it. But probably, I don't know, I think my all-time favorite is Energy Doesn't Lie, Only People Do.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. My favorite is Understanding Is Not a Prerequisite for a Happening.
That's another great one. Come Now, Come Later, But You're Coming.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I like that one.
Oh, and You Are What You're Conscious Of.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it gets really, really simple when there's only two kinds of energy. When you have decisions to make or people come into your reality, there's only two kinds of energy, up spiral and down spiral. And as soon as you sense which one is which, then make your decisions accordingly.
Yeah, true. So do we have any more callers?
We have a lot of callers, but none with questions. If you do have a question, you need to press 1 on your keypad to alert us to the fact that you would like to be brought on the air. And we are doing two different chat rooms tonight, if you just joined us, because Sage couldn't get in, so she went to the forum chat room, so we'd at least have somewhere to go. And then it finally did open up, so we've got people spread out over two websites.
I wanted to say a shout-out to Ostiana and Elizabeth down on the island of Barbados. They're down there doing some very wonderful work, and I just wanted to say, hey, girls, I hope you're taking pictures. I want to see them.
What a great place to be, especially during this time. Well, I don't see any more questions coming from this BTR chat room. I will check in with Purple Sage one more time, and then I think we'll just wrap it up for this evening and just tell everyone to be very, just pay attention to things that happen, and if there's something that you just can't understand, you can always post a question on the forum or come back next week and call in and give us a report. If you think that you have been to the Teton meetings or if something unusual happens after they've concluded, things change in your life, we want you to share your experience with us. So we do have one more caller with a question. I do not recognize the number, but it is from area 246. You're on the air.
Yes.
246.
Hi. Hello.
Who is this?
This is Ostiana.
Ostiana.
How are you?
Did you hear Lavendar just say hello to you?
No, actually what happened is like 2 minutes before she sent me a broadcast telepathically, so I walked over to the phone in the other room, and then as I was dialing the number, Elizabeth, who's also here, said, oh, she's talking about us, but yes, I got the message.
You girls are great.
So, yeah,
hi. So, you know, it's been my great good fortune to have this amazing telepathic and physical relationship with Lavendar, and I really am so happy to be able to just talk a little bit about experiences with the Tetons, because, you know, I was really moved by hearing this notion of being aligned with the energy versus, like, using the energy to advantage, which is kind of the story, I guess, on the planet. And then I just keep thinking of what Lavendar has said so many times to me, which is that there's no competition when there's alignment. And what a beautiful, efficient way of using energy or being used by energy that is. So if there's any comment about that, particularly as we're lining up for these last few days of Tetons, and by the way, I had this awesome rocking Teton-flavored dream that I was sitting at a table with Barack Obama, and he was planning his own little 2012, so that was interesting. But any comments about alignment versus competition, particularly at this window of time where we're being evaluated, would be really appreciated.
Well, that's a real simple statement. There is no competition with alignment. In other words, you have to give up that old programming where you want to best someone at something, be better than. You stand in your own light, and you just simply wait until others come and join the light that you have. And it's just it's a natural progression. And the more people that come into alignment at that level, then you see that there is no competition anywhere because it's not allowed to play. I mean, it just, and if competition enters, then that person will be thrown off of that particular mission or agenda or project or whatever. You know, it's just not allowed. Once it starts to enter, it starts unraveling. It's like a thread, one thread, and then the energy itself will just, it's like a snake eating its own tail. It'll just eat itself right off of alignment. And it happens very quickly. So, alignment is about standing in your power, standing in your truth, knowing who you are, and simply waiting until others come into either your alignment or you go into their alignment on the same code of ethics. It's about a code of ethics with Starseed.
I really appreciate this information. And I just want to add that we're literally sitting in a spot here with two lines of quartz silica that were, it's so pure it was used to make glass in the eastern east of the Caribbean. And I just send a big shout out from Atlantis Lost and Found on the Tetons, and just really great to listen to everything tonight. And I'm just going to chime in also that Elizabeth had this great dream that she was in a truth room, and when you talked about the emerald light of the computer, it just seemed like a pattern match. So I just wanted to share that too.
Okay, great. Good to hear from you girls.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lavendar.
Thank you,
Elizabeth. Thanks for calling in. Wow. I, you know, that was so funny. I mean, you just contacted her telepathically as you were saying hi on the mic, and she called in. Well, I would like to thank everyone for joining us this evening and bearing with our little technical glitch, whatever is happening with the Blog Talk Radio chat room. They have implemented some new software, and I have a feeling that it might not quite have all the bugs worked out yet. But we do appreciate your staying with us on the chat room, both here and at the starseedhotline.ning.com forum. And we do invite you to use that chat room anytime you're online there. Always stop by the chat room and see if who's there. If you need people to talk to, I'm going to check in with Purple Sage one more time before we say goodnight. Hey, Purple Sage.
Hey. Actually, I think it kind of worked out tonight. In that people did find the chat room. Some say, you know, I check in here now and then, and nobody's ever in here. But now that everybody knows that it's open and kind of learned how to work it tonight, they're getting used to it, and they kind of like it. So
well, that's,
I think,
great.
It really worked out.
That's great. I think it would be, because, like I said, we do have a global community, and there could be people, you know, that are, is there 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and there should always, you know, be somebody up
absolutely
around the world. And just check into the chat room and do it often. And I'd like to have a place where people can just go and chat with somebody that they know is one of them, so to speak.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. So, well, that's great. That's great. Thank you so much for being able to switch hit like this, Sage. And we do appreciate it. And I assume we have no more questions to come.
No more questions.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, sweetie.
I'd like to have a shout out to Tina, who lives on an island in Norway, And Tina, I haven't answered your email, but I will. Okay? I know she's listening.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, I think we can just go ahead and sign off because we have, I think, no more questions. I know from the forum chat room, and I don't see any on the BTR chat room that finally did open up here. And we do hope that you'll call in next week, and we'll have hopefully this this new software here at BTR will be ironed out, and we'll have things back to normal. Sierra, you there?
I sure am.
Okay, Sierra, Purple Sage, and Tammy, we're all on the air together, and I want to say good night, ladies.
Good night. Thank you
for being on our team.
Good night. And happy
we'll be
PCON
back.
Meetings.
Thank you so much. We'll be back next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And join us on the forum at starseedhotline.ning.com. Bye-bye. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.